like got you see guys like Nate Robinson or Spud Webb, it's like, whoa, you're not expecting that. And I definitely was not expecting this like 6 foot skinny point guard to be able to like throw it down in the dunk contest. And he couldn't.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. Today is Wednesday, December 15, 2021. It's me, Jared, Joe, and Will. Let's introduce ourselves this week by saying our favorite thing of basketball this week. And you can't say Steph Curry. he's excluded.
Steph Curry was actually my least favorite part about basketball this week. So
that's fine. It's not good. Fine, but it's
oh man, I'm gonna need a minute. There were so many things. Let me consult my sources here.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a quick Google of past week in the NBA.
How about a better question? Did any of us watch basketball this week?
No, I did not.
Is that a prerequisite for the show now?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Skipped it. Quit cold turkey for this week.
I did. It's me, Jared, and I did not watch basketball this week.
I did find a Reddit thread, speaking of Steph Curry, which might be my favorite thing that I've seen this week. This was last night after he broke the record. That title just says, "Is Steph really the best shooter ever? I'm not convinced personally." He goes on, the poster goes on to say, "Steph is the top guy in 2021, sure. But with all his big moments, I still think Larry Bird was a better shooter. Reggie Miller, too." Every single comment is saying some form of, "This is a joke, right?" Or, "He's objectively the best shooter ever, and here's why."
I saw some great ones where people were arguing just on Twitter about it, and saying that no, Ray Allen was still the best shooter of all time, and some guys were at least saying nebulous enough things like he's just like, "I'd trust him more at the game on the line or better in the clutch," where like you can't empirically disprove it or whatever, or like not convincingly.
The cowards argument.
But the best ones were ones people were saying outright bullshit. It was so good. At one point, this one guy said that somebody posted that correctly that Steph broke the record in 500 fewer games than it took Ray Allen to get there. Yeah. And they said, "Wow." And somebody just responded with, "Way more attempts, though." No.
No.
Steph Curry is not a shot
ever, too, I think.
Steph Curry does not have more attempts on threes than Ray Allen. He is fewer. He has a higher percentage than Ray Allen lifetime.
He's got the highest percentage at the top of the list, but I think I saw that you have to go down to like Joe Harris to even get close in percentage career. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle Korver was pretty close, but he's like sixth or seventh on the list all time.
I'm sure like Steve Kerr is above him, but
Steve was one of the highest ones too. Yeah,
because Steve shot like 45%.
Yeah, but not nearly the attempts, obviously. Yeah,
yeah, and all of his were catch and shoot. Steph's taking.
Yeah, Steph's like doing off the. He's doing it all.
Here's a good one for you. If y'all didn't see this, I'm not sure if you did. Who are the? I think there are two players ahead of Steph Curry in 3-point attempts ever. Ray Allen is one of them. Who's the other?
Is James it not Harden?
It is James Harden.
Okay. here's a fun one. Who I heard this the other day on the TNT podcast of who do you guys think is the player behind Steph in terms of a streak of like a three a game.
Oh man.
So Steph has the longest streak.
Steph has the longest, like 100.
Who has the next longest?
Yeah, who's the next longest?
Is it currently active?
Active.
Okay.
LeBron.
No.
That's my guess.
You're not going to guess.
Like, I don't actually think it was LeBron, but maybe it was.
I wasn't able to guess. I was so wrong.
Carmelo Anthony. Whatever it is, I'm guessing it's like 10 games.
Someone who's known for shooting threes or not really?
It's 40. It's 40 games.
What player do I think might have hit a three 40 games in a row?
You're not, like, I guarantee you're not getting it.
Damn.
Patty Mills.
No, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
That is good.
I guess one more.
DJ Augustine.
No.
Danilo Gallinari.
No, that's a fun guess. I could see that.
Okay. I give up.
Will, you want to give it one more?
Bojan.
No.
No, okay.
That's a fun one, too. It's Lou Dort.
What?
You know the best part? The way you said you won't get it, I was like, that makes me think they're on a terrible team. I was like, I wonder if it's somebody on the Thunder. And all I thought was, well, it sure as hell ain't Lou Dort.
Yeah. That's awesome. I just went on to a different team.
Yeah.
That's crazy that, like, I'm surprised someone like, I don't know, Jason Tatum or James Harden or Damian Lillard.
My first guess was it's probably hard.
40 plus game streak.
Well, yeah. You know, Harden has sucked to start the year, so he was
he takes 5 or 6 a game, probably. Make one. I don't know.
Yeah.
He wasn't even running after the
ball. Dame's had a really rough start, too.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Jason Tatum had a really ugly start, so I bet he definitely had some offers in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm not even sure if he hit a three that entire double overtime game or whatever versus the Knicks early in the season when Jaylen Brown went off.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Lou Dort, I've got another Lou Dort thread here from the Thunder subreddit.
Okay.
Could Lugens Dort become the best undrafted player ever in the history of the NBA?
This is
a good question. to my mind, this is the poster going on. To my mind, he has the potential of being better than such undrafted players as Ben Wallace, Bruce Bowen.
Shut the fuck up. Ben Wallace.
we're done.
I wanted to make sure I wasn't being a Ben Wallace stan in that.
Okay.
Lou Dort is not going to the Hall of Fame, but appreciate it.
Ben Wallace, Bruce Bowen, John Starks, etc. Those are his three players he thinks, maybe who he thought were the three best undrafted players ever. I don't even have any others. I don't know of any others in my head.
I think Ben Wallace is
the undrafted. I'll find a list of the best undrafted players.
I think Ben Wallace is at the top of it, but that's enough on it. He's also not going to be better than John Starks, but I don't care anything about Bruce Bowen.
some of the top comments. Ben Wallace was more than great for the Pistons. He was the anchor on a championship team. This one just says, slow down, big fella. I like the boldness here, but I think another undrafted name that needs some respect is Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
Still early for him, too, though.
Yeah, but Lou Dort's not better than Fred, so we can rule him out.
here's a list from, like, directly from the NBA website of their top 10 best undrafted. Well, we'll go starting at 10. J.J. Barea. Will Lou Dort be better than J.J.?
No.
Perhaps.
Okay.
But probably not.
I like Lou Dort, but
it was really good. Underappreciatedly really good.
He somehow put together like a 15-year career or something, and Lou Dort, nothing against him. It's not his fault he's on the Thunder, but he's only been on the worst teams in history for every year he's been in the league.
And if his athleticism declines even a little bit, all of a sudden he's a liability. Like, he's a good, he's a great defender and can shoot the three. But as soon as he doesn't have the lateral quickness anymore, maybe in 5 years, then what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He was probably on one good team his rookie year and then all shitty teams, but still.
Yeah, he's like Andre Robertson with a shot.
Which, and like, shaped like a
it's cube. A compliment. It's a compliment, but
yeah. He's a useful player.
Yeah. Okay, then we have Jose Calderon.
Was Jose Calderon better than JJ Barea?
That's the real question.
That's the next debate. That's the next 50 minutes of the pod, baby.
He averaged, his career averages were 8.9 points, 5.8 assists, 2.9 rebounds, and 40.7% 3-point.
He was a good shooter and a pretty good distributor.
Yeah.
Did he have a stint as like very briefly in that horrible stretch where he was the starting point guard for the New York Knicks? Okay.
That was the Bargnani Knicks days too, I believe.
Okay. What an era.
That's when they like threw a ton of money at a bunch of like very average players, which could describe like the last 20 years of the Knicks, but
oh, so it was the Knicks.
That was one of those revampings where they were like, yeah, you take a bunch of money and you take a bunch of money. That was pre-Porzingis.
The Knicks, which maybe led to
Porzingis directly.
Yeah. I mean, there was an era where like the Knicks highlight players were like Iman and J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, that's the mixtape
era, man.
Yeah.
The only, well, I guess
the end of his career.
But outside of last year, the like only likable Knicks team of my entire life.
So that team, I happened to be walking past a hotel that they were arriving at.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in San Antonio, and they're going to play that night. And me and my classmate were walking past, and we're like, oh, it's the Knicks. Let's go watch them as they exit the bus. And like a bunch of guys stop for autographs. JR, Iman, and the one that does not stop, I think it was Steve Novak. This one dude's like, oh, you can shoot threes, you're too good for everyone now. And it's so funny because like that's really the one guy that was like, I'm too good for
Steve
all this.
Novak big timed everybody in New York City.
Yeah, amazing. All right, number 8, Avery Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll accept it without complaint because I didn't.
I don't play. Think so. Brad Miller, number 7. It's an interesting one.
I remember in that NBA Live 2005, he was like the second best center in the game after Shaq.
Joe should definitely have a card for each of these dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, drafted all stars.
I do have an extensive Ben Wallace collection because he's my favorite player ever. I probably have like 50 Ben Wallace cards that I hung on to.
Okay, 6 is Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
So that's good. Already in there. Udonis Haslem, 5.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Anybody can put together a 20-year career, however fake the past 6 years of it have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the last five, six years have been pretty much as a coach. Like, as an assistant coach. All right, 4, Bruce Bowen. I think that's fair. 3, John Starks.
Uh-huh.
2, Connie Hawkins.
Oh, okay. Oh. Big throwback, but...
Throwback.
Yeah, that's a big throwback, but...
Absolutely 18 deserved.
Points per game as of the career average.
Yeah, based off of what I've heard.
8 rebounds. And then number 1 is Ben Wallace.
And then number 0 is Lu Dort.
Yeah.
Right. 1A. Is Connie Hawkins in the Hall of Fame?
I think so.
I think it probably says on this list.
There's talk of like Ben Wallace being the first undrafted player in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame in 92.
Yeah. Okay. For his contributions to both the ABA and NBA.
He's a New York City playground legend.
He was in NBA Street Volume 2. I remember
when
that.
When you say playground legend, it makes me think maybe it wasn't like Hoops. He was just like an animal on the like Jungle Gym or something.
He was crazy on the, on the balance beam. This could
slide, let me tell you.
Getting back to these Lou Dort comments, this one says, oh, that's a weak take. He's going to become the best player ever in the history of the NBA, period.
I think he'll be better than all the drafted players, but worse than some of the undrafted players.
That's a take.
One guy said Moses Malone is an example of someone undrafted. And someone commented, he was the 22nd pick of the ABA draft and then the first pick of the NBA supplementary draft the next year. How is that undrafted?
Maybe he means he wasn't drafted into the Army.
True.
He was never drafted into the United States Army.
Dude, we gotta redo this whole list.
Don't sleep on Moses Brown is another comment.
No shade, but I am.
I will sleep on Moses Brown.
I am dead to sleep on.
Sorry, Moses.
I am out like a light on Moses Brown.
He's a fun player and very tall, but don't sleep on Moses Brown in comparison to Ben Wallace eventually. No, I will be fast asleep on that. So, I think, yeah, it's just people can say whatever they want on the internet. That was the moral of that story.
Did you guys read the Rick Carlisle thing?
I did.
An article.
I wanted to see how bad it was. Not like not the piece. I wanted to see how bad like Carlisle was in it.
I think
I only saw Dennis Smith's comment on it, which was that basically it's all true and coming
that
from
is what staff, got me to read it.
Yeah,
coming from
yeah.
staff, that's you know it's true or whatever he said.
I think that it's a testament to how bad things are, and it's also like truly impressive that this team likes their new coach in Jason Kidd better than Rick Carlisle. That he is a more likable coach and they're getting along better than with Rick Carlisle.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if Jason Kidd's players have hated him in the past. Like Giannis loved him. He's just a piece of shit.
Well, I can't imagine like Thon Maker liked him.
Yeah,
he
I mean,
kind of bullied him.
That would make sense, but I just like at least like he is a past people. Like the main reasons I hate Jason Kidd aren't like it's not like it's Thonmaker is like it's a good reason, but it's more like the allegations.
Yeah, the allegations too. Yeah,
but no, that is fair. That's the one piece of the part of the piece I had a problem with was I was reading it and I was like Rick Carlisle sounds like a total dick. But then like the last like three paragraphs are just like a PR job for Jason Kidd. And it's like, yeah, oh yeah. Cool. And now it's all better. All the players are happy because they have Jason Kidd. He's doing a lot of things that they love. And I was like, man, shut the fuck up.
He's doing a lot of things that they love, except helping them win.
Yeah. Being good at his job is not one of them.
Yeah. So Joe, you didn't read it?
Nope.
I mean, guess the long story short.
Give me the spark notes, yeah.
Yeah, well...
It was bad under Carlisle.
Yeah, we'll, like, retweet the article from our account and stuff, too, but... Yeah, where do we start?
It sounds like Carlisle wanted Donovan Mitchell instead of Dennis Smith, and then he got pissed that they took Dennis Smith.
It kind of just took it out on him, like, the whole time.
Sounds like he took it out on Dennis Smith, never really gave him a chance. Dennis Smith and Luka bonded, and Carlisle tried to pit them against each other and then got rid of Dennis, sent him to New York, as we all know. And then sounded like from there it was pretty much unrepairable.
He accused, I mean, we kind of mentioned that, like, with, you know, trying to pit them against each other. Like, they were friends. They got along. They hung out all the time, apparently. And then during a film session, he accused Dennis Smith Jr. of being jealous of Luka, which is weird. Yeah. I think being jealous that Luka got to pretty much be a primary ball handler, something like that, and like called him out in front of everyone, and everyone was like, that was weird, actually.
Yeah. And it sounds like what Luka says in it is basically that Carlisle was a dick to everybody except him, and that's what he hated.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he just... Which makes me like Luka a lot more.
Yeah, that's cool. It didn't seem very personal for Luka. It
like
was
the fact that Luka was like, yo, this is weird.
Yeah, you're being shitty to
like, I want
to
be the guy, but I don't want to be the guy like that.
Yeah, he saw it and could see that he was being treated differently than everyone else. And yeah. Like, even if he was on the good side of it, he was like, it's not working. Which, that's good.
Not only was it not working, but he was like yelling back at Carlisle.
Yeah, he's like, fuck. Yeah, he's like
during games and shit. Games. Like,
and Carlisle was just like, yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
Check this one out.
It's just our relationship.
Rick Klobuchar. There it is. I think I know that one.
No.
Oh. He threw a stapler at
Dennis. Artie's barking from the other room. He's laughing.
But yeah, Dennis Smith pretty much confirmed like on his Twitter account, like, it was more than this, too.
Yeah. That sucks for Dennis. I like Dennis.
It does. I like him, too.
And I don't know that he, you know, would have become a star in the league or anything, but when you're not really given a fair chance.
Yeah, I would assume that that would really stunt your growth. Yeah.
Yeah, and probably just lead you to like mistrust future coaches too, of like,
oh yeah,
I don't know, this guy doesn't care about me and, you know, whatever situation you're in. Yeah.
See,
that's tough.
Where are the Mavericks at right now?
It was kind of nice though. This is just really a sad state of where we've been at for ages. It was kind of nice for there to be a scandal that wasn't like abject, like racism or sexism.
Especially coming from the Mavs.
Yeah, right? That's new
for them.
Which
is all it's been. It's all they've had.
It's like, okay, this guy was just like, he was just an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, cool, let's run with that.
Just a mean coach, yeah.
Good old fashioned
news. I can live on that. I don't feel bad.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember like when he resigned and we're like, oh man, that's crazy. That's really, and then now it's
he's
like,
a good coach.
Oh, he
Why
resigned
he
because no one would listen to him and it made him look worse.
He was like, oh, like the relationship with Luka is broken. I can't work here anymore.
Yeah. And he like knew he was not likely to get that extension.
Hmm.
And I'm sure it's not like he went to the front office and was like, it's me or Luka, because he knew what the answer was going to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, they told him. So one of the things that they said, like Jared said, we'll retweet the article so we're not just like vulturing all their stuff. But one of the one of the breaking points was he tried to go visit Luka in Slovenia before the Olympics. And he was going to go, like, spend some time with him there. And Luka, like, shut down the visit and was like, no, I don't want any distractions. I definitely don't want you coming here. And, like, he went to, like, the front office. And they were like, yeah, don't go see him if he said no. And he's like, oh, okay, I quit.
Yeah. There's very much, like, it's too late to try and repair that.
Yeah. He sounded real disingenuous when he was trying to, like, they said it was funny. Like, he would even, like, go out of his way to try to shield Luka from stuff. Like, when Luka came into training camp at 260 pounds. And Carl would be like, that's fine. And they'd be like, that's not fine. But he was just trying to suck up to him at this point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good for Luka.
Yeah, I was going to say good for Luka for kind of seeing through it. And
like,
hopefully it's a better coaching situation.
Yeah, he's probably one of the most likable characters.
Yeah, it's hard to dislike him for sure. Like, I think... Like Trae Young is super likable or dislikable. I think he's pretty polarizing with his antics, but he's also super entertaining and super awesome and fun.
Yeah,
he embraces being that kind of role when he wants to and can. But like, Luka's always just going to kind of be the like slightly chubby, giggly kid just having the time of his life out there, basically. But who could also hit like a 40-footer on you with no problem in any moment of the game?
It does bear repeating, though. Minus props to Luka for his choice of replacement coach.
Yeah.
Huge whiff after that.
Everything is not all good there.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, man. Remember, what was this, last year, I think, when Luka had that big game against PG? And they were going to trade jerseys. Mm-hmm. But Luka's like, I don't have anything on under this, so I'll meet you in the locker rooms. And it's like, oh, like, my first
like thought a was kid like, wearing a t-shirt in the swimming pool.
You can be seen without a shirt on, I think. Like, I think you'll be fine. But then everyone is like, he shut him down. He didn't want to trade jerseys.
He's just so
and they had to be like, no, we traded, just not in front of everyone.
I love how when that Luka will like talk about it in training camp, and he'll be like, yeah, the next step for me is probably like getting into shape. He's like, that would probably unlock some stuff in my game. It's like you just know the whole like
five a game, and he's not in shape.
But at the same time, you know, like the whole Mavs organization, every time he says it, is like, yes, please, we're begging you. We'll do literally anything for you to get into shape.
They're like cautiously watching the Pelicans.
They're the ones, they're actually they're bribing Zion to get unhealthier and unhealthier, so like they have a cautionary tale to point at for Luka.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, don't do that.
That's smart. That's big.
It's the Mavs are sending food to Zion's house.
Also, speaking of jersey swaps, I saw Giannis had that big game against Trey recently. Mm-hmm. And they swapped jerseys, and then Giannis was saying that the NBA took Trey's jersey from him.
Because Trey had a big game too. They like took
Trey
it.
Was like,
they took it to like the Hall of Fame or something. So he didn't even get it.
they swapped on the court, and then in the statement he was like, they took the jersey from me. I didn't get to keep it.
That's so weird. They say that sort of thing like a lot, like they took it for like posterity. Wherever they're taking it cannot be big enough to include every like very good game that a player has had in the league.
There's no way there's this like underground vault.
It's like it's just a closet, like a rack of jerseys with like a post-it note.
Goes forever.
There's just no room for Trae Young's seventh best game in his first four seasons.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, why this game did they take? Like, you gotta expect he's gonna have bigger games in his career. Yeah. There's no way that he doesn't.
If you need like, if right now you had to choose one Trae Young jersey, either pick like, you know, like his biggest performance, his first breakout performance, or maybe you know, like the game seven against the Sixers.
But that's the one so far.
It's his seventh best game ever against the Bucks in the regular season.
Yeah.
In a loss.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, we gotta have this. Like, if taking that one implies that they have like tens of thousands of jerseys down there.
Yeah, how often does this happen?
How many of Giannis's jerseys do they have? Or Jokic?
Well, that's the thing.
Jokic,
too. Like, did they not
zero
take...
based on the amount of coverage he's getting for any sort of MVP.
There was
that video of Zach Lowe pleading with Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins to consider Jokic for MVP, and they were just like shaking their heads and laughing at him basically for a minute straight. And then Zach Lowe kept being like, stop, stop, stop. Let me talk about Nikola Jokic. Stop.
I was also
and
saying,
Richard Jefferson's whole argument at the end was like, he won it last year. And I was like, he's having a better year now.
you can win it again. It's it's allowed.
Did we actually important? We'll need to retweet this from the pod account. Did we all see Richard Jefferson getting brutally owned on ESPN?
Yes,
I saw it.
It's so good. It's I can't remember who the host was, but she was talking to him and JJ
Redick
about Steph, you know, breaking the record. That's what they were discussing, and JJ Redick obviously broke some 3-point shooting records in college. And so she's talking to the two of them, and she's talking to Richard specifically, and she's like, let's go on to something that, one of you knows a good bit about, breaking records, and it's obviously not you, RJ.
Oh, yeah, my. And he just goes.
He just like sat there and was like, "Wait, what the fuck?
Why did they always dunk on him there? Like,
they just knew he was gonna have
once
bad...
there's a group together, they just pick on him because they've dunked on him plenty of times before too.
He's honestly a pretty decent analyst, and yeah, he doesn't deserve the amount of flack he catches. Kendrick Perkins deserves every bit of flack he catches.
Oh yeah,
he's shocked. Yeah.
I still think it's so funny. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I just think it's really funny that Kendrick Perkins is like the antagonist in the 2K the series 2K story. It's as a TV analyst, all he does is like doubt your character, and he's like, "You won't." And even then, like, I'm just like, just let me play the game, man. I came here so I wouldn't have to listen to Kendrick. I don't want to hear Perkins one more time.
Yeah, that was like when I opened it up and I saw it was the last one I played, maybe like, I don't know, 16, 17 or something like that. I opened it up and they had incorporated like your favorite NBA Twitter personalities into the game and just saw them tweeting. I was like, I have these people blocked.
Yeah.
I have these people blocked and muted. Don't put them on my video game.
And not give me the option to block and mute them in the video game.
Let me follow Sam Sheehan. Don't force me to follow Wob on 2K.
Yeah, the only good account in there is like that one, like fake injury report page.
Oh yeah,
that's like the only good one they've put in there.
Did y'all see the Athletic poll today from former NBA players of who's this year's MVP?
Not the MVP. I saw one. It was like just the favorite players one.
It's like I think it was who do you think is the best player in the NBA?
Right.
And people got really mad at the Athletic because Jokic didn't crack the top
Jokic
five.
Jokic isn't on there. Yeah.
And they're getting, but which was hilarious to me. One, just because I was like, I don't know if we can blame this on the Athletic. This is a poll of former players. You can't like make them choose somebody. But
yeah,
Jokic got. I'm trying to remember if he got one or two votes. But do you all know some other? Can guess any other players who got one vote?
Derrick Rose.
No, good one though.
That's
Carmelo Anthony.
In a teammate of his did well. One teammate of his got a lot of votes. One teammate of his got one vote.
Westbrook.
Yep.
Okay.
Somebody voted for Westbrook. Somebody voted for Zion.
Oh brother!
Okay.
He can't even walk right now.
There were as many supporters of Zion as the best player in the league as there were Nikola Jokic among 118 former NBA players.
That's so sad.
And it's like somebody was saying today, it's not like people like talk about like, oh, you have to watch to get it. Oh, it's all advanced stats. No, if you just look at his regular stat line, he's having one of the most ridiculous seasons of all time.
It's like 26 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with like seven or eight assists or something.
Just watch one game. Like watch him play for one game and you'll see.
Yeah.
And he's shooting like 40% from three.
Yeah. He had
Zach Lowe's whole argument, or a big part of Zach Lowe's argument, was like when Jokic is on the floor, the Nuggets are +14. When he's off the floor, they're -16. Like, they're literally, like, the best team in the league with him on the floor and the worst team in the league with him off the floor.
Yeah, no, he is the Nuggets.
On Monday.
In every possible way you can measure it, he's the most valuable player. Like, every advanced stat, there's that argument. I remember the year, this is football now, but the year Peyton Manning was out the whole year with his neck injury, the Colts went from, like, 14-2 to 2-14 just with him off the field. And I remember my dad was like, they should give him the MVP in the season he's out. Like, and it's kind of that. It's like, that's one argument of the MVP. It's like, well, this team sucks without him. And with him, they're a contender. Like,
because it's the value to the team.
Yeah, like, exactly.
But also just like strictly like, it's like you said, no matter what definition of MVP.
Numbers, yeah. However you measure it, he's at the top.
My main metric for MVP is I think the MVP should largely just go to the best player that season, each season.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah.
That's arguably, and it's not even that it has to be him, although like he's having by some metrics, like the best season of all time. It's just that he's being left out of the conversation when what we've got on our hands should honestly be like an incredible, like four-way race for MVP.
Yeah.
They're incredible candidates.
He threw Giannis in at the last second of his argument too, just like, and Giannis. And yeah. Then they kind of moved on. And I get that. Like,
yep. Everyone's all in on Kevin Durant, and I get it. He's been unbelievable. I assume people still have Giannis, and they apparently now have Jokic fatigue. But that's a shame because they're both absolutely unreal. And I know I'm forgetting somebody, which, like, is a shame.
Is part of this
yes
because he's just like not a flashy player to them?
But he is a flashy player.
That's the thing, he is. But like, yeah, but that's the thing. He's not
marketable in the same way as these other guys.
Who's watching
in their face all the time?
Yeah, who's watching Denver Nuggets games right now? Nobody
cares about the Nikola Jokic post game
interview.
Yeah.
I mean, it does raise a question to like how big can like a, I don't know, like what's the most popular a like white European big can get in the NBA? Like, I don't know where Dirk was really at his peak in America, but I don't think he was ever really like the face of it. But he also wasn't the best player, arguably. You can't clearly a European player can get very, or a partially European player can get very popular because Giannis is plenty popular. but I don't know if it's because he's doesn't handle the ball as much, even though he does handle the ball a lot, or because he's a big boy. or it's because he's just playing in Denver, but Jokic doesn't command the
all of it.
Attention.
And he's not an attention-seeking guy either, really. Like, he's kind of in this position, not by accident, but I bet if he could choose, he would like play basketball but not have to do all this other stuff. Like, he doesn't care about the other stuff.
In his off season,
he really seems to care about basketball just based on his demeanor. That's just the kind of guy he is.
Is this because also that he leads in ejections from Tony Brothers?
See, first in every category.
Apparently, he keeps getting ejected by Tony Brothers and like no one else.
Tony Brothers can be to him as a is it how Scott Foster is to CP3?
This is like the new rivalry.
Like, has never like won a playoff game with that guy reffing.
Kind of incredible.
It's like over 14 or something. It's like a big number.
It's like real interesting considering, you know, he's one of the best players ever and he's had a very long career.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little fishy. A little bit. All right, here's something fun that I missed a couple weeks ago. Kyle Kuzma tweeted, "The amount of shade rappers throw at NBA players and their music is sickening."
Sickening.
So now we have to go through the replies. I will be replacing the N-word with guy. for clarity purposes here. Here we have a quote from V's Law and Order. Never heard of this before. My little guy, black and ugly, shoot like Tony Snell. Wait. Oh, okay, I have another thing. After this, I have a Tony Snell stat for you guys. you a fucking rookie. Why did I read that like that? You a fucking rookie, timid to shoot like Ben Simmons. There's a lot of Ben Simmons ones on here. It's a really tired joke.
This man has played so much Pokemon over the past while that he pronounced rookie like he was about to say rookadee.
This man's trying to
catch a flying Pokemon when we're talking about guys since our first year in the league.
There's also a reply here from Benny the Butcher saying, "Yeah, I admit this looked bad. I got a positive Kyle Kuzma bar on the way."
I know Drake has a Giannis line in one of his newish songs. And there's a running joke, like, before the album came out, it was like when Giannis was kind of like gonna win MVP, everyone was like these memes of Drake, like Drake trying to fit Antetokounmpo into a verse.
there is a real G's move in silence, like Giannis line. It's really good. Here's a fun one. Homie fucked up his pack already. Nah, say word. He broke early in the season, Gordon Hayward. It's what you do after the brick, bitch. I'm Draymond. That's a West Side Gun lyric too. Quavo can get no playing time. Kendrick Perkins. Oh, here's a Benny the Butcher one. Hoes get fucked and sent home early, just like the Clippers. Brother, you're lame. You're Shane Battier. Oh, there's a Memphis guy overpaid. You can call me Mike Conley. Boo.
That one Boo. Was talking about HB basketball.
Little Uzi Vert line right here. Balding like Ginobili. Oh, that's, why are there so many of that Shane Battier one? I'm in this ass while he playing against the Utah Jazz.
What the fuck?
Well, there's the Jack Harlow line from What's Poppin'. I fill up arenas like Gilbert Arenas on the futon. I give her that penis.
I actually was listening to this the other day, admittedly, blasting this in the car. The classic Kanye West Chief Keef remix, Don't Like, and Kanye's like, shout out to Derrick Rose. And that guy, nice. And that's it. That's the line.
I think it would be funny if when rappers said that guy's nice, like, they just mean he's like a nice guy. They don't mean anything else by it.
Yeah.
It's like, he's a nice fellow, that Derrick Rose.
It's just funny because it turns out he's not.
He's not. No.
He's not. He's scared to shoot like Ben Simmons. We just checked his stats.
Hell yeah.
They're going to go Tony Montana and cop them some Shaq at the free throws. That's a little creative one right there.
That's there's a Denzel Curry line too that throwing out bricks like Shaq at the free throw. That's the line.
Because these bitches are hurt, D Rose. This is from Pop Smoke. Said I break legs like Paul George.
Pop Smoke has another one in the song Invincible that I think is hilarious. It's like, these guys be corny. I'm feeling horny. I shoot my shot like Robert Ory.
Oh, that's the line. Brother.
And it's wonderful.
Here's another. There's a lot of Benny the Butcher on here. Puffin' on Sour. I hurt feelings like it hurt Mello watching his wife fucking on Power.
Goddamn. This isn't even old a negative guy. One, but Lloyd Banks said, I've got more shooters than more foreign shooters than the Sacramento Kings.
That's good.
That is good.
Old guy's unreliable like D-Rose knees. Oh, here's a good one. This from Pro Era. Should get ugly like Chauncey Billups. Oh, okay. Let's see if we can get a few more on here.
Cameron said, I'm killer, you Andre Miller, got a basic game.
That's great.
Oh, what the? I feel like James Harden, you blocked my jumper, goddamn. That's Lil Wayne.
Is that Lil Wayne singing about Manu Ginobili?
It must be. Oh, here's a JID classic. Her pussy bald like her talking be like. Her pussy bald with a tat like Stefan Marbury. Okay. One more, I think. Sean Livingston, you'd have been on every team.
Drew Gooden. Man. Livingston probably fit better in the pentameter.
Yeah.
I've got another thread along the same lines of what star player has the worst name? Some examples, just boring, sort of boring names. Bill Russell, Paul George.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan. what are some other ones in here? Patrick Ewing. Sounds like a prestigious accounting firm.
It okay, yeah.
Joe Johnson. Yeah. David Robinson. This one just says Wardell.
Yeah.
What are some Chauncey of the best names? Phillips.
Is that that's one of the worst ones?
That's what he said. I think that one's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Chauncey. I mean, that's a great name.
I mean, yeah, it's a very sweet name. I wish it belonged to someone else.
Irvin Johnson. Great, but also terrible. Admiral Schofield.
That name.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wait, I've stumbled upon a good one that I was looking for. I knew there was an absolutely filthy member of what we're looking at from Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And on the way, I found a some bars that referenced Bonzi Wells, so that was pretty great. Okay. I just got to read it because I have absolutely no bars. So sorry in advance. From Pump It Up Remix in 03. Jay-Z said, I'm the Mike Jordan of the Mike Recording. Hovey, baby, you Kobe. Maybe Tracy McGrady. Matter of fact, you a Harold Miner. J.R. Ryder washed up on marijuana. Even worse, you a Purvis Ellison. You worthless fella. You ain't no athlete. You Sean Bradley.
Oh, man.
We have a winner. Holy moly.
Wow. How did he get like 7 strays into that one?
You don't have to go off like that.
Oh, imagine getting called Purvis Ellison.
Right, how about this?
The ultimate.
Let's give some predictions on which NBA players will be referenced in rap lyrics in the next 2 years.
Mm.
I'll go first. Obi okay. Toppin.
Yes, that's a perfect one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm equally confident Scottie Barnes, even if it's just from Drake.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a LaMelo Ball too. Mm.
Somebody's going to mention Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trey Young will start coming up more.
Yes. Hated in New York.
I'm sure there's a few Trey ones already.
Yeah.
We gotta get some names that they can really get creative with.
Mm. Yeah, Obi Toppin.
That's why I said Obi Toppin, yeah. She be Obi Toppin me off.
Who's gonna be real and reference Lou Dort?
Oh. Yeah. Gotta be one more we're missing.
Hall of Fame lock on the court, Lou Dort.
There it is.
It's already done.
It's a future Drake line.
So I had this other thing saved. Speaking of Tony Snell, did you know that Tony Snell did it again this year?
Oh, hell yeah.
In half the time.
It's across the board.
13 Amazing. Minutes this time. 13 minutes. He did this on the 8th against Golden State. 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 0 steals, 0 blocks.
King.
Now, what we need to do here is let's start the Tony Snell Club. He's the president because he did it best. And then this other version of him can be included. But also, last season, we have an entry into the club with Davis Bertans.
Oh, yeah.
It's 0 points, zero assists, zero steals, zero blocks. He gets an asterisk here because he does have six fouls in 24 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think Tony Snell even had a foul or a shot attempt. Yeah. He was just doing cardio for like 29 minutes in his first inaugural Zeros game.
Yeah, I would like to give credit to Mark Titus, former Ohio State walk-on, who back in his day in the mid to late 2000s popularized the idea of a trillion, which is the you got zeros across the box score. And he always said the truest trillions meant you attempted zero shots as well. No shots, no free throws. Mm-hmm. And the purest one you could do is if you managed to leave the court with a plus minus of zero.
Wow.
A sign that you truly did not affect the game in any way.
Yeah.
Amazing. A trillion. I like that. That's so good. The trillion club.
Yeah, so you would say like Tony Snell's like infamous like 26 trillion, and the higher you can go, obviously, the more impressive it is.
That's the minutes, 26 minutes, 26 trillion.
I think
trillion.
He actually, I think I was wrong, he did it in 28 minutes.
Wow.
28 trillion.
In college ball, the artist formerly known as Dexter Strickland, now goes by Baden Jackson, was, I think, one either rebound or assist away from like a 23 trillion in an ACC game, which was just absolutely unbelievable.
Wow.
Much, much more common to see the low numbers ones by the walk-ons who get in at the end of games.
You know what's kind of amazing is that like Tony Snell also has a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? I think I have it here. 24 points, 9 for 9 from the field, 6 for 6 from 3. Also,
inside the view are two wolves.
Also, yeah, but then also he ended a season with a perfect 50-50-100 stat line. 50 field goal percentage, 53.100 free throw. I'm assuming the free throw attempts were very minimal. But very, very, very weird.
I have that actually reminds me of one of my favorite little stat quirks that I ever saw happen. Let me see if I can get the name of who did it here. I'm not sure I'll be able to. Okay, here we go. It was college basketball. It was the 2018-2019 Duke Blue Devils. And a member of the team, I cannot for the life of me remember if it was Javon Delorier or if it was Marcus Bolden, set the record for most consecutive field goals made. It was like 16 or something. And it was literally like 1 to 2 per game. It took like almost 10 games to get there. That was like the season prior, I think, that happened. The next year, Zion Williamson showed up and broke the record in one game. He went like 18 for 18 from the floor in one of his games, and that was it.
My goodness. You know, we should get into the good old Donnie Boy requested segment, Big Boy Season. Ooh. Let's check up on Zion. There was some news this week. Was there not? I believe there was. Let me find it. Pretty much the news was that his recovery time has been extended. It's not going well.
Yeah.
Pelicans have kind of also said he's not as heavy as reported. They're saying like, oh, he's actually back down to 280 now again. They never like confirmed it. He was at 330 like they said a week or two ago. Someone said a week or two ago.
Down though, that means he was more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listed at 285 right now. And I think they might have said, like, oh, he's back down to 270 now or something like that. But I
don't believe that.
I don't believe that based on just looking at him.
Yeah.
He was at 270 last year.
Says
he's not 270 now.
Zion continues to experience soreness in his surgically repaired right foot and is likely to be shut down from basketball activities for the time being. And I would have to imagine that part of these issues are because probably that foot was not used to that added weight. I'm also no doctor, so...
I've got a question that always kind of nags at me when I hear these descriptions of injuries. When they say they're suffering from soreness in the foot, do you think it's like how we think of soreness in the foot? Or do you think like if I experienced it, I'd like fall over screaming or something like that? Like, is it regular soreness and they know that's a sign of a bigger problem? Or is it like really bad and they just call it soreness?
Good question. I would imagine it's like regular soreness.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm sure like with everything they do, like, and maybe it's like a little bit more than obviously what we feel sometimes, like waking up in the morning. Course, but like it's probably they feel it in a way where they're like, oh, like it doesn't feel like it usually does, like it feels different, like it feels like I shouldn't be like if he's experiencing soreness off a surgically repaired foot, like it's like, well, probably shouldn't be feeling that.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to me that because you have to imagine they're all experiencing soreness all the time, so everywhere. So it must be some sort of different feeling.
Or it's like, are they experiencing soreness through the probably heavy amount of like pain meds that they are given sometimes, you know, like.
And if he hasn't been conditioning, like you feel soreness quicker when you're rusty or when you're out of shape. So
yeah,
if he's trying to do the same workouts he was doing, but he's not in shape, it's leading to quicker soreness and more prolonged soreness, I'm sure. But yeah.
How about Don's other requested segment? Was it the stunt contest?
Yeah. Let's bring that up. Let me get the wording on that one so we can read it exactly. Let's see. All right. Stunk contest. Where the person who flubs their dunk attempts the most win.
Birdman's the leader in the clubhouse.
Okay.
I know that. I remember there was a dunk contest where you got unlimited attempts until you made one in this particular dunk contest. And he, it was like a big, it was not a complicated dunk. It was like a shoot it up high, let it bounce on the floor and alley-oop it to myself kind of dunk. And I think he missed like 12 in a row. And everyone was just like, what are we even doing? And he finally got it, and they all gave him like sixes because he took so many attempts to do it.
Amazing. Yeah. That led to the question that first popped into my mind when I read Don's pitch, which is, what is truly the worst way to like miss a dunk? Is it to slam it really hard off the back of the rim so it goes like all the way past half court? Is it to miss the rim entirely? Is it to execute it perfectly but only jump 6 inches off the ground? I'm like, what
I think
would be the worst way?
I think it's how Kentavious Caldwell-Pope missed a dunk earlier this week. Yes. Which he went up on the sideline, tomahawked it, and got stuffed by the side of the backboard. There was not even a defender in the way.
That one's pretty bad.
That's it. The famous Corey Brewer rim stuff comes to mind. It's just one of the all times, just cocking it back and slamming it into the front of the rim, just utterly demoralizing.
The front of the rim is much worse than like off the back of the rim, for sure.
Yeah.
Off the back of the rim is like you're high enough, it's in there. It just like either came off your hand or you threw it in too hard right at the rim. But off the front of the rim is like you didn't even get high enough to get there.
It is, but if I was creating like the aesthetics of a missed dunk, there's something beautiful about slamming it to the back of the rim and it rocketing all the way down the court. Just
there
when
is.
You try to dunk it there and it is. Goes out of bounds, that's amazing.
Yeah, because it's like when I see that, I'm like, he's too strong. You know, like, yeah. I think a bad one also is like just losing the ball on the way up.
What about when you like go up two-handed, the ball is like on the rim, but you hang on the rim? And then it misses, and the rim kind of shoots back up and shoots it straight up into the air.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
NBA players don't really do that. I mean, maybe like a guy like if Steph Curry was dunking mid-game and like didn't get good footing or something, he might pull that. Like a shorter guy. I'm picturing a shorter guy trying to go up like two-handed and just not quite getting there.
You know, does Steph actually has a really good bad dunk attempt
where he can get up. Slipped. Yeah. Oh yeah.
He just,
yeah.
He didn't even get up. He just slipped under the roof. Yeah.
I remember that.
Another classic of the genre is the guy who goes up and then realizes he's not high enough, so he switches to a layup and misses the layup.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a classic.
Or, I mean, I don't. I'm assuming his dunking ability is not great, but good old Damian Lee misses about two layups a game, still to this day. So.
Also appreciated on the aesthetic side of things, the guy who tries to dunk from literally everywhere misses like half of them because he's trying from past the free throw line in a live game with three guys between him and the rim. But I will watch that forever. Any guy who just decides, yeah, I'll do it from here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a John Morant fan, huh?
Oh, absolutely. There, yeah. it's such a beautiful way to play basketball. It's the Vince Carter mindset. There's a 7-footer in my way. I'll just go over him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And one of these days it will work.
One day, yeah. You'll catch it on the right day at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Man, that was that dunk attempt. Who was that over?
Kevin Love.
He also had a pretty filthy Gobert attempt, I think.
I think
his nastiest one was Love, though, I believe.
Kevin Love. Yeah. And then he missed the dunk and Kevin Love was like, I would have had to retire if he made that.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I mean, it could have ended my career. I'm glad he missed.
Yeah. So let's nominate. Let's do some nominees for this dunk contest. I'm going with Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's got to be mostly like shorter guys. Yeah. I want to put like Rudy Gobert in it because he seems to lay it up way more than he should for a guy who's like 7'2". Mm-hmm. And I truly don't think he could do anything other than like the one-handed or two-handed, like drop it in at this point.
Yeah.
I want to see how creative he could really get. And I don't think he can. So I'd want to see him in it.
I'd put in Andre Miller. He had an incredible rim stuff in his year in Washington that was just unbelievable. So I'd like to see him. And not that it's the most embarrassing, but I can't ever mention a missed dunk without tipping a cap to Shannon Brown, who has the greatest missed dunk of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely the greatest miss of all time. That is like a Hall of Fame miss.
I promise, other than maybe the Ja one now, it's the only dunk miss that I Google from time to time just to watch. Like, oh, I haven't watched that in a while. It's time for me to watch
it. I like to think that if he made that dunk, he would have lasted a little bit longer in the league.
Yeah.
It's not true, but I like to think so.
He left a legacy, and that's more than a lot of people can say.
That's true.
I feel like a dunk artist like Gerald Green would like find a way to win this contest by missing on purpose. Like, he would find the best way to miss in such a way that everyone's like, well, we got to give it to him.
Right.
So,
if it bounces straight up and then just goes back in.
Yeah, he'd like find a way somehow. I also want to see Brandon Knight in there. He's just been on the wrong end of many highlights. And I think he could really succeed in this contest.
Here's a bit of a deep cut for you. Okay. James White White. It was so exciting when he joined the dunk contest. The Knicks basically signed him so he could be in the dunk contest because he was such an incredible leaper. And then he got to the dunk contest, and I don't know if he was too nervous or his hands are tiny, and he lost control of the ball on every single dunk attempt.
Remember Daryl Armstrong in the dunk contest, and he just did a layup? He didn't even try to – he didn't even come close to getting high enough to dunk it. He literally did a finger roll from like 3 feet under the rim. It wasn't even close.
Amazing. That's a 10.
Yeah. I mean, he's the honor like guest of the tournament for even doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I feel like
I do need to nominate Damian Lee then.
Yeah.
Being able to dunk, and I don't think he could. He was only like 6 feet tall. He was like not I wouldn't have thought they could dunk. Like, got you see guys like Nate Robinson or Spud Webb, it's like, whoa, you're not expecting that. And I definitely was not expecting this, like, 6 foot skinny point guard to be able to, like, throw it down in the dunk contest. And he couldn't.
And that's exactly
and what I was right.
And I was right. who are we going for? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying so far we've done a good job covering the different genres of missed dunks.
Yeah, we have. Who should be in the actual dunk contest?
Oh,
this year. I mean, Ja, of course.
Ja would be cool. A healthy Zion would be awesome.
Honestly, put current Zion in any version of our dunk contest that we're talking about.
Yeah. I know. I do want Zion in the dunk contest.
Howard LeBron.
Yeah. It'd be cool if LeBron, like, in his final year was like, okay, I'll do it.
I'm honestly shocked, like, he never did it. Like,
yeah.
MJ did it. Kobe did it. Like, I don't know. Like, everybody did it. Like, why wouldn't you want to do it? There's no way he wasn't asked in his first, like, 5 years in the league, probably every year at least.
Yeah, why is it like a what if I don't win thing? Like,
I don't know. Like, that didn't stop Kobe. That didn't stop, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Just,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
surprised he never did. Yeah. That's all. I don't know what his motivations were for not doing it specifically. He'd probably say, I want to be rested. I don't want to whatever. But he would, like, go to it and be in the audience and, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it never made sense to me that he never did one. I get it now.
Yeah, I get it now. But man, because his pregame dunks were like.
Anytime in his.
He does a dunk contest before every game.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but he kind of only does the big, like, tomahawk or, like, the, like, scoop double pump reverse. Like, those are the only real dunks.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, those are crazy dunks and amazing, but, like, I wonder what. I want to know what, like, tricks he had in his bag 15 years ago. But we'll never know.
LeBron James has no bag.
Some crazy, like, he would do some crazy self oops pregame when he was, like, on the Cavs. Yeah. I want to see Gary Payton.
That would be
second
fun.
In that. Because he, like, my goodness, he can fly.
I want the mitten to actually be defending all of the dunkers in this year's dunk contest.
I want a blocker on every dunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do it? Are there enough good teams where we could do a team dunk contest? Because the Bulls have Derek Jones Jr. and Zach LaVine on their team.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I mean, I don't think DeMar throws it down.
Cavs probably have a handful that can really throw down. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Okoro, Chetty Osman, of course, high flyer.
Hawks got a lot of. Killers put any one of their dunkers with John Collins.
Yeah. Jalen Johnson. There's a bunch of rookies that could really, like, make a name for themselves if they want to go that route. I mean, you could put, like,
honestly, Miles. Like,
has Miles Bridges Lakers. Done it already?
Yeah, he's been in there.
Okay. I wouldn't mind having him in there again. He's awesome to watch.
So we get the Lakers, we get Westbrook and LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, finally, like, okay. Okay. It's Yeah, that'd be kind of sick.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be.
How about Come Bucket? Is he good enough to good enough dunker?
I mean, lately we've been getting more, like, rookies, I feel like.
Yeah, Jalen Green could theoretically do it. He can fly.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson. There's a handful. Definitely, like, it from the first round that could be really good. Just somebody sign Jalen LeCue and get him in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's on the Bucks G League. I think he's on the Herd. So if the Bucks have
enough guys just for the dunk contest,
if the Bucks have enough COVID protocols, they might have to sign him.
I think so. Yeah, Warriors can just send in a Kuminga, Come Bucket, and then Gary Payton. That's all. I believe. Well, and I don't know, Steph, just so he can slip or something.
Warriors would probably send, like, Payton and Wiggins, I assume.
Oh yeah, Wiggins still pretty good. Ups. He can actually. Oh, he threw down Cat a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sick. He threw down twice.
Okay, now we're talking. Okay, so dunk contest. Every team sends two guys, and it's like a single elimination bracket. Mm. And you know, maybe it's like okay, everybody each. You get one individual dunk from each guy and a duo dunk from the team. So three dunks total. I mean, this would go on for hours. This would be like all-star weekend long. But, oh, man, I would watch every single one if they did this. That would be filthy.
Yeah.
Two guys, and those are your two guys. Maybe even do just like one. You get one dunk, best one moves on. Then it would be like an hour or two long. Even with 32 guys or 30 guys, whatever it is.
Yeah, because I feel like
teams.
Like the dunk contest right now goes by too fast.
Yeah. It's like
I don't want it to be a hella long, but I want like a little bit more.
Yeah.
I want it to be more than like 20 minutes long.
But also, but to do that, you basically need more people because you can only jump so many times before you can't do cool dunks anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And we've only had last few years, it's only been like four people.
It's been four for a long time.
I think we need let's get two more in there then.
Yeah, even like eight guys, you know, start with a round of two dunks each. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're down to four. Two more dunks. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're down to two more dunks. I don't know. Maybe that's too much, but
yeah.
I would like that.
Maybe. Dang. Yeah, I hope
when will someone do the through the legs twice dunk that you could do in NBA Live 2005?
The greatest dunk contest of any game ever. Just absolutely.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, and like
the you NBA could do Street like a back game. Handspring leading into it, like between the legs twice dunk.
It was so complicated.
Yeah.
The control guides for it were like a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, it was like fighting game combos.
Yes.
You had to like it was
you,
like
you do the Konami code and then you dunk on someone.
Yeah, controller. I'm using the D-pad on my using my keyboard.
Yeah, this isn't
gonna work.
I did huge tricks from the black diamond level tricks in SSX Tricky that required fewer controls than the NBA 5 Alive. NBA Live 5.
I literally figured out like three or four dunks that would win me the contest, and I did not pursue it I knew what between the legs twice was. I knew what like a through the legs reverse was, and there was one other one that was like a Statue of Liberty like 360 spin or something. But yeah, I could get like 99 out of 100 in each round, and then it's like I would win. But I didn't know those were the only ones I knew how to do that would get me the scores.
That'd be real fun is to find an old copy of that and then just to use button combinations from other games. Be like, yeah, this is the button combination I used to Piccolo's Beam in a Dragon Ball Z game and just see what dunk it translates to in NBA Live 05.
I had that game for PlayStation 2 and for PC. I might need to do some digging over Christmas and see if I can find it.
I have and still have it for GameCube.
Nice.
Oh,
I was going crazy on the C stick.
We can stream it.
That's where I scored. My best ever was I think I scored 253 points with Vince Carter in one game. But my favorite thing to do is to play the rookie sophomore challenge. And to only score with Ben Gordon for the rookie team the entire time. Just sprint at a guy, do a spin move, get to the bucket every single play.
Every time, yeah. I think my brother scored 100 points with T-Mac in a game on either NBA 2K3 or NBA Live 05.
It's gorgeous.
You know what's fun was that I had NBA Street Volume 3 on the GameCube, and you could play as Mario and Luigi. So you could do those like crazy dunk combos. It's like Luigi's got hops.
Hey, I play Mario. Luigi does have hops.
He does. He was getting
up there.
Could Luigi make it in the NBA?
I'm tempted to say yes, but let me look up his stats real quick. All right. It says he's somewhere between 4'5" and 5'2".
Ignoring that.
Hardest player in league history already.
We know from playing Mario, I'm just thinking back to like handheld Mario, Luigi can jump at least like 2 to 3 times his height.
Mm-hmm.
So Luigi's vert is like 10 to 15 feet.
Here's what I'm saying. If we put
absolute
Mario and Luigi in the NBA and scaled their height up a little bit, I would say Luigi is like Pat Connaughton. And Mario is like Ricky Rubio.
Please, Dante DiVincenzo, if we're talking Italian men here.
Okay. I was thinking in terms of hops.
Okay.
Style.
Check it's Dante out, DiVincenzo.
Okay.
I've just learned that Luigi was born in 1983, which I know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. That means he would have been draft eligible for the 2001 draft, maybe the worst draft of all time. He absolutely would have gotten drafted.
Okay.
Lottery pick.
What about Mario?
Mario went in the second round. Unless he has the cape. Then that would be pretty serious.
Right. Dang.
We're really discussing the big issues today.
And if Mario had the invincible star, he would turn into Isaiah Stewart.
Who's Bowser then?
Who's
like a big David slow Stern. Player?
Jack. Tractor trailer. Anthony Mason. Who's a
big slow player that I would say like playstyle wise he'd be like Boban, but Boban's too likable for me to compare the two.
I think Bowser is Joel Embiid.
Okay. Have you seen John Wick, Jared?
Boban's
not very likable.
And he's keeping Ben Simmons in his castle.
He's locked up.
For someone to come, for the Indiana Pacers to come rescue.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, there's like talk of them blowing it up, right? Pacers are considering it.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite ones ever. They said they've made Sabonis, Turner, Brogdon, and Karis all available for trade. And somebody said, but will teams have what it takes to get Karis off of the Pacers? And again, friend of the show, Adam Davis, said, like, who wants him? Like,
yeah.
We've all been fans at some point or another, and I have nothing against the guy, but like, what could they possibly demand for him? A guy who's not been good, who's also injured all the time.
Yeah, and like, you know, provided he stays healthy, maybe he'd be better elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe most of those guys would, but like, yeah, it's not like you can demand more because he'd be better elsewhere.
Yeah,
you know.
Not much of a sell to
you,
be like.
You have to demand the value that he has to your team.
Yeah, he could be good. Yeah, but he's not like right now. So we're not going to give you anything for him.
Yeah,
and he's on a fairly sizable contract.
Yeah, I mean, I want the best for him. I want him to be better. I love watching him when he's like healthy. It's fun. But
here we go. This was. Yeah. Bobby Manning said, how much would the Pacers demand for LeVert? Adam said, for an injury-prone defensive liability, average passing, score-first guy who has probably only once in his career even come close to a league-average true shooting percentage, probably way more than any team should consider paying. Then he said, hold on to your seat and get ready for the intense bidding war about to ensue for the 8th best player on the 20th best team in the league.
So things are definitely going well for Rick Carlisle then.
Yep. He chose this.
Yeah, he did choose this. That's they got some good players over there though. Big Sabonis fan.
Yeah, he's awesome. But
and by big Sabonis fan, I mean Arvydas Sabonis.
Absolutely.
Friend of the show.
That brings us all the way back to talking about not having functioning knees at the beginning.
Mm, true.
He had functioning knees in Europe. He just came to the NBA when he was like 34.
Yeah.
I don't think he could. Do y'all remember There's No Reason Why You Would, when Dwight Howard was on the Hawks and they played the Wizards in the playoffs? There was a play where the ball rolled over to Dwight Howard and he bent down to try to pick it up, and the Wizards ended up getting the ball simply because Dwight Howard couldn't bend down. Like, he like tried and had to stop like halfway down. His like back and his knees were such garbage that he just like stopped and got kind of stuck. So the Wizards got the ball and they like scored, and everybody was like, oh my God, he should not like play anymore. That's how I always think of Big Sabonis.
Yeah.
Except he was still good.
He was still good. Well, because the thing is, he was a great playmaker. He could pass.
Yeah.
He was a great passing big man. Cause that's why he stayed.
When Mitch was really on the up and up a couple of years ago as like a real good player in the league, someone made a video like splicing together Sabonis passing clips and Jokic passing clips. And they were like, spot on of like the vision and the skill and the trickery and the, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So Jokic is like a poor man's Arvydas Sabonis is what I'm trying to say.
Arvydas Sabonis would be the best player in the NBA right now at his current age.
Yeah. Much to think about.
I'm really interested in if the Pacers trade everyone away, like, where they will go, especially like Sabonis, because he's really good.
He is, but it's still like not a guy you can convince yourself that they're gonna like get that much for. So it'll be like they're gonna blow it up and leave there with like 3 mid first round picks.
Uh-huh.
But like, yeah, I saw a common take on my timeline is that the Warriors should be willing to trade anyone who's not like in the main core for Sabonis. It's like, yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be so there's good a lot of talk of like putting together like a Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman package.
Yeah, I mean, the goal should be to. I like those guys, but if your goal is to win more titles with Steph, then
I like them, but Draymond, they're all, you know, in their at the end of their prime, I would say right now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more years of prime,
and then do what you can to, you know, have room for Jordan Poole to be part of the rotation in the future, because like the core rotation in the future, because like he's actually really good. Like his ceiling is getting higher,
approaching Lou Dort levels.
Approaching Lou Dort level, yeah. Okay. It's like except without the defense.
He spent his defensive attribute points on offense, and it's working for him.
Among us.
Yeah,
wouldn't do the same.
Yeah, it's funny though, because it's like, you know, when he they'll keep Jordan in and he'll kind of lead the bench guys, and so it's like, yeah, he's a defensive liability, but then your other guard in is Gary Payton, so it doesn't matter.
Like Gary Payton's guarding both guards.
yeah he's good. Okay, last thing, I guess. We're going a little long. Oh, Ben Simmons. Is he gone before the, ooh.
I said before Thanksgiving, so I was way off.
You were wrong. Yeah.
But I don't remember what I said, but I know I was wrong.
The trade talks around the league are starting to heat up. The Lakers are ready to trade away Westbrook if they can. They're ready to change scenery with some guys, no matter what LeBron says about loving every guy in that locker room. They're not winning very much right now, so they might want to do something. I also just love that the Lakers, like, literally 30 games ago were like, we're going to show all these young bloods how these old heads really can play, and they're like 500 right now.
You showed us how you can play, and it's not well.
They stink. But also the guy they keep floating up for trade that is like Talen Horton Tucker, who's like a young, like, has a lot of potential. So
yeah, that's whatever. The thing. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we need to make some moves away from our younger guys again.
Yeah.
But also, since it's the Lakers, they're like, we should receive 3 first-round picks for Talen Horton-Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kyle Kuzma, like, quote-tweeted a tweet that said something about, like, look, THT getting a lot of buzz around the league, and he was just like, here y'all go again.
So anyway, the trade talks
around the league are just, like, becoming... There's more and more buzz being generated because teams are at a point now of like, all right, Pacers are at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. Pelicans are not a good team without Zion. The Kings should probably blow it up. You know, like there's guys becoming available and being made available because they're at the point in the season now where they see where their team is headed. And there's enough teams that are like, we're not.
Well, and there's more trades available now because it's been like, amount of time after.
Yeah, today's the literal deadline for you can trade guys you signed this summer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll double down. I'll be wrong again. I think they'll move Simmons before the trade deadline. I'm not basing this off of anything other than it would be so stupid not to. You have Joel Embiid in his prime. You should really be trying to win a title. Simmons is clearly never going to help the Sixers again, so I would really... You're just wasting Joel Embiid's prime. I think you have to trade him and get something out of it, but they're welcome to prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
No further comment.
I saw a tweet like right before we went on, and it was something about like they're considering just holding him till summer, and I'm like, what? Would you... Like, you're bluffing, but... Yeah.
They're getting like a full year of health. Like, well, I mean, he's had some issues, but imagine getting like a year of like mostly healthy prime Embiid and just being like, nah, we'll pass on this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure nothing bad will happen in the future.
Yeah. Like,
having a team that feels like one piece away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If there's a team that's one piece away from like really being a contender, it's the Sixers.
In a league without a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have great depth.
Yeah.
You have shooters. You got a great big man. You have a really good coach. And you're going to be like, oh, we'll just hold on to him. Or there's a quote that's like, they consider that the best outcome still is just Ben returning.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, do you really want that at this point?
I saw, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because he rules bring up Adam so much, but I saw that from Adam Day when they said, outside of getting a Harden or Dame level player for him, they feel that the best case scenario is Ben Simmons returning. And he said, so outside of two scenarios that won't happen, they feel the best case scenario is a third scenario that won't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like,
that's such a funny comparison to be like, first off, he's not as good as Dame or Harden. He's really good. Like, you know, he's all-star quality, but he's not. Also, like, what a comparison. Because it's like, very different, I don't.
You know, I mean, just imagine if I sat here and I was like, I want to trade Bradley Beal, but I will only trade him for Steph Curry, maybe like Ja Morant or something. It's like, shut up. Why are you saying you're going to play like one fine all-star trade, one fine all-star straight up for an MVP level player?
Yeah. Like, I mean, when he gets traded, it's going to be like, a 3 or 4 team trade.
Yeah.
I don't know. The bluffs that they are doing over there is like, it's funny.
Yeah. They're going to say, they're just going to go down with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to be like, we told you we want to trade
it. Yeah. And you deserve it for that.
Congrats.
Yeah. Man.
Y'all lost in round one.
He's really going to go to the Pacers, huh?
He has to. I mean, honestly, if Philly can talk their way into getting like Brogdon and Sabonis, they should do
that's
it yesterday.
That's what I was saying. I think Brogdon and Sabonis would be. Brogdon would, like, I think he'd work pretty well there. He's so well rounded. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also just consider they'd be trading, not in a slight of Ben Simmons, but nothing in the terms of a guy who's not playing for their team.
Mm-hmm. For,
one all-star and one very good player.
Yeah.
So they'd be essentially getting them for free because the other guy doesn't play for them.
Yeah. Well, then Ben can just kind of restart there, I guess.
Yeah.
And they don't need to get picks. Additionally, if they're getting Brogdon and Sabonis, like, that's a great deal.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, they should be happy. They might have to give up more than Ben if they want Brogdon and Sabonis.
Those are great pieces, too. Like, my goodness, that front court, Sabonis, Embiid. And then for either one of them, bring Drummond in when one of them sits. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And then, like, start Brogdon, and then coming in for him is Tyrese Maxey. That's crazy.
Can you imagine having, like, just think about lineups where it's, like, Brogdon, Toby, Sabonis and Embiid all on the floor. Might be the strongest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And they've got Seth Curry and they've got Danny Green. Like, I mean,
yeah.
They should be trying to do it yesterday.
They really should. I mean, that might be the most likely trade to happen.
Well, but I don't think other teams are going to sit around and let them get Sabonis. I think all the good teams are going to want Sabonis.
I think you want to jump on that.
Yeah. Everyone else, I think it'll go a little slower. I really like Miles Turner, but Sabonis is the big piece there. And if he's actually available, like, I would stop worrying about, no slight to him either, but like, I would stop worrying about trying to get Jeremy Grant out of Detroit, no matter how many dozens of teams are inquiring.
Yeah,
about
him. Yeah. It's like, Lakers can go ahead and take him.
Yeah.
He's really good, but it's like, I think you need more changes than,
yeah,
I don't know, like, one guy.
I mean, it would just be funny for them to add another guy who, like, can't really shoot.
Yeah. It'd be, like, on par with just everything else they've done. Buddy Hield is available.
Yes.
I'll miss him. Like, he's fun.
Such a weird saga. Such a weird saga of a guy not being good, then being quite good, and then, like...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I've ever witnessed this thing of like them having this massive falling out that's taken a place over multiple years, but he's also still been good.
Well, I think part of that, because like as soon as Luke got there, he benched him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Luke got there and he was like, I think you'd be better as like a six. And then he benched him, and that was kind of his order's law. And Buddy was still really good off the bench, but I mean, I think he should be starting.
Yeah.
But also, like, they have too many guards.
They have only guards. They used to have only centers, and now they have only guards.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I mean, maybe one day they'll have only fans.
Oh, no.
There you go.
They don't have fans. I wonder if they'll have just only like small forwards. They're gonna be looking like the Hornets right now.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, that's it. Honestly, the Heat aren't far away from that either.
That's true.
They do everything around Bam, who's just like a huge small forward.
Yeah, maybe like Buddy and Marvin will be part of a package together.
Good luck to both of them if they do. It's good for anybody to get out of Sacramento.
It is. They're so
Speaking
bad.
Speaking of the Heat, this tweet says, if you don't believe Heat culture exists, just check out Lowry's photos for NBA.com from last season with the Raptors and the current season.
It's... it looks like he just dropped like a hard like R&B.
He got so serious.
That's the album cover.
That's so good.
That's Heat culture right there, baby.
That is not a man named Kyle.
The way he hits those angles.
Yeah.
The light they've got on him. It's just phenomenal.
It really is a whole change. What do you think? Should we wrap this up in a minute?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Any last words?
Watch some basketball if you want.
That's true. That's true. You're right. You are correct. Let me see. I might have one other thing saved. as some last words.
I guess congrats to Steph Curry if I have to.
That was a cool moment. It was pretty cool. I watched that. I don't know if you guys were able to catch that.
I just saw
it led to the longest timeout I've ever seen.
Acting like a proud girlfriend, laying on the ground of the court, taking different angles of photos on his phone.
Yeah.
I did see someone today who was like, imagine how like terrible all those photos are. And then everyone else was like, do you think Spike Lee doesn't know how to use a camera?
Oh.
I would think most other people, like just some random guy, yeah, I would assume they're not good. But Spike Lee knows what he's doing.
These are probably very good.
Yeah. It is so funny though, like watching like the post game, and he's like, you can see him like shuffling behind them, and then he's shuffling back, and then oh, there's his arm. And I was like, is he waiting to talk to him? Like, what's he? Yeah, that was a cool moment though. A lot of people saying that Del Curry there looked like the most recently divorced man in the world, and I have to agree.
The sweater tucked into the Gucci belt.
Yeah. It was very, oh, we have a cat appearance. Half of a cat.
We got a cat.
Yeah,
butt.
He looked, yep. Yeah, he looked really divorced.
Ray Allen looked like a massive hater.
Yeah. With the turtleneck.
As is tradition.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. What are you doing showing up in a turtleneck, man?
Yeah. Is that like his signature look now? Is that just like. Is that his thing?
I guess.
I don't know.
He decided he had to have a more serious public image after he sent that masturbating tweet.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Much to think about.
Maybe we can retweet that too. Make a screenshot or something.
Oh yeah, it's out there.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a cool moment that led to the longest timeout that I've ever seen.
Mm. It also led to some very dumb discourse online today where people said that if calling the Steph Curry the greatest shooter of all time is a disservice to him because it doesn't acknowledge all the other things he does well. Like,
oh my God.
It's not like every time we say it, we're saying he's only the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, we can't. We can't like every time we refer to someone, we can't always go through the whole list. Like,
yeah. And also, Steph called himself the best shooter of all time. I don't think it's a big insult when he wants the title.
Yeah, it's like Steph called him that. Ray called him that. Reggie called him that. Like everyone, if the best shooters of all time called him the best shooter of all time, he's the best shooter of all time. We don't need to say more.
He can dribble, I promise.
Kevin Durant voice, just watch the fucking game. Maybe we should, maybe that's the ending thing. But yeah, Kevin, my ending thing is Kevin Durant wants his Rolex. I had that.
Yes.
We love your stuff gifted Draymond and Clay and Iguodala some custom Rolexes for being some of the top assist givers to him.
That's good.
KD will probably get his.
KD also told KD's third Bayless that he really doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Skip Bayless thing? That was awesome.
Skip Bayless talked some random BS again, and KD was like, I really don't like you.
It's so good, too, because Skip Bayless' comment was pro-KD. It was like the Lucas situation all over again.
Yeah.
He was like, KD's the best player in the world, and Kevin Durant was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a good vibe to end on, then. Good, last words. KD rules. Steph's the best shooter of all time, and KD's the best tweeter of all time. And his teammates should get Rolexes for that. And, our viewers and listeners should know that. We love you.
Thank you very much.